teenager. Ryan was gritting his teeth so hard that it made his jaw ache.
Doc risked...
Christy held up a hand, facing Lori.
You live around the Deathlands, and you get to see a lot of shit behavior. Every now and again, you see someone do something really brave. What Doc did to try and save your miserable skin is one of the bravest things I ever saw. A little steel needle against that muty monster there.
Grace under fire.
I've heard that. Read it someplace, years ago.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it was Ryan and you guys killed the snake.
You'd have been dead if Doc hadn't jumped in when he did.
Drop it, as they say, my loyal comrades. The child is simply overwrought and does not mean what she says.
Don't speak for me!
She could do with the rest. We all could.
Don't want another night out in the open. Not with rattlers as big as war wags sliding around the brush. We gotta push on toward the Ville, wherever that is. The smell of gas is stronger, and there was that air wag. We got to be close.
Ryan knew JB was right, but the reality was that Lori and the Freezy weren't in good enough shape to keep on trucking through the fading light. So they compromised. They had seen that the edge of the arid mesquite region was fairly close. It was agreed that they would trek on for that, and then find a place to camp, posting guards against the hazards of the night. Ryan settled in alongside Rick, hoping to find out a little more about what the Freezy had done in his highly classified past.
Want to talk, Rick? Rick, do you want to talk some? Never mind.
A violent chemstorm raged during the night, and some chunks of nuke debris came falling from deep space. The detritus of the abortive Star Wars project of the 1980s that had finally circled back to its home planet, burning up in streaks of brilliant magnesium light. The wind brought the heavy odor of gasoline from the land that lay ahead of them. Ryan fell asleep thinking about a Ville that owned so much gas and so much power. It could be one hell of a place. Rick Ginsburg dreamed during that second night of his awakening. During his student days at UCLA, he dropped some farmies, as the new hallucinogenics were known. They took you one step sideways from reality, but you still kept in touch. Unless you got an ollie, as bad trips were called. He couldn't remember why they were known by that name. Something lost in the mists of the past. Ever since he'd blinked his sticky eyes open in the chemical cold of the cryo center, Rick had felt like he was in the middle of the worst ollie that anyone had ever known. His brain simply would not keep still. It had no sense of what was then or when or now. During the brief battle against the huge thrashing snake, it had been like a psycho dream. The six men and women were now his comrades. Maybe they were his friends. He's sure as Green Earth had never had any friends like Ryan and the others before, assuming they weren't a figment of his own fervid brain. That confusion ran through the middle of his dreams. A rabbi was talking to him, both of them sitting on bright green transparent chairs that floated in a huge swimming pool, the walls making everything shimmer and echo.
The question, my son, is this. Are you a man dreaming that you are a butterfly? Or are you a butterfly dreaming that you are a serpent? That is the eternal riddle, wrapped in a mystery, shrouded in an enigma. What is the answer, Richard?
I am... Therefore, I stink.
Wrong! Why do you flagellate me like this? What have I done to deserve it?
The rabbi segued into his mother, weeping as she leaned on the enormous walnut sideboard that Uncle Maurice had given them. Rick rolled over on his back, starting to snore. Ryan reached and nudged him into a half-waking movement, edging him into another dream.
Rick? Rick.
Now he stood outside the big brownstone block where his parents had lived, the one that a famous film star, Marilyn Monroe, had once lived in, they claimed. The sun shone brilliantly, and he could hear traffic on East River Drive. His mother and his father and all four of his grandparents stood in a formal row, all wearing Victorian clothes, frock coats and frilled gowns. They were all nodding to him and smiling, as if he'd done something very clever. His grandmother, Agnes LaCincia, beckoned to him, crooking her finger. Her intricately cut diamond ring flashed.
When you go to the store, Richard Neal, you must make sure you are wearing your overshoes.
It won't rain.
Not for the rain, Babushka. To stop your feet rad-rotting when the missiles come. They'll kill us all. Mr. Kurtz is already dead.
In another country, Grandmama.
Shut nose and eat self heat.
Jack shook Rick into a muscle-creaking wakefulness.
What? What is... Ruth? Are you back?
Everybody ready to go? Cans buried out of the way? Good.
They didn't tidy up after themselves out of some inherited desire to maintain the environment. There were some kinds of muties that would follow anyone traveling through the Deathlands, trailing their discarded cans or packets.
I'm feeling a bit better. Not so stiff.
You could use some new clothes.
Christy pulled at a loose thread that dangled from the shoulder of the Freezy's suit.
Yeah, my Fifth Avenue smartest doesn't stand up well to Sierra rocks and desert cactus. Should have bought a heavier duty cloth.
Maybe find something in the Ville. Find something to trade.
What's the money in Deathlands? I guess my American Express card is expired by now. I heard you talk about Jack. What's that?
Jack changes from Ville to Ville. A lot of barons stamp their own coins, print notes. Mostly only used in that Ville. Some big barons got together and agreed their Jack could be used in each other's Villes. Your times, Jack was the same all over the country?
Oh, right. A dollar was a dollar. Oh, that reminds me. When you found my clothes, did you find my wallet?
What's a wallet?
A kind of pouch, Lori, for your money, cards and driver's license and my BlackBerry. Hell's bloody bells, my BlackBerry is gone. I can't live without that. What am I going to do? Come on, guys.
All of them, even Doc Tanner, gazed blankly at him.
BlackBerry? What, you hungry or something?
No. It's a kind of book that contained the names and addresses of my friends, phone numbers, appointments, and all kinds of vital stuff. And mine's gone forever.
Why did you need a book to be telling you whose your friends are?
Well, because... I guess... I don't know. And now, since I've only got 6 friends in the world, I don't need their addresses and names, do I?
Dark night. The smell of gas is getting double strong. Gotta be pumping it, not just a big dump.
Ryan agreed with JB. Faintly, carried on the wind, he thought that he'd caught the sound of drilling rigs. When he'd driven once across the east-west blacktops of what had been Texas, he'd seen the wrecks of the old oil pumps, perched across the dead prairies like the skeletal remains of ancient birds. Jack was scouting at point.
Blacktop here. Looks used. Kept good. Safe. Come on.
The blacktop headed in from the northwest, in the rough direction of the Pacific, looping to run eastward, toward where the scent of gasoline was strongest, toward where they could at last make out the smudges of buildings.
There's a sign. Perhaps we might go to peruse it. Now, let us see. Yes, snakefish. Population 2,000 and growing all the time. Gas sold and traded. Outlanders welcome.
Under that last part, someone had added, in a maroon acrylic,